All right, let's dive in today, exploring how we can all level up our leadership skills, to really meet the needs of businesses and everyone involved these days. I've got some chapters from a business development book that we can unpack and some YouTube videos too. A guy, Greg Winteregg, who's all about helping entrepreneurs scale their companies.
Interesting. You know, what's striking is how both those sources point to this big change in how we view leadership. The old top-down command and control style, it's kind of fading away, right? In today's world where everything's moving so fast.
Yeah, makes sense.
We're seeing a move towards a more collaborative approach, where leaders really empower their teams, valuing their input, encouraging them to contribute. It's more agile.
Yeah. Instead of just giving orders, leaders are like facilitators now.
Yeah.
Creating spaces where everyone can work together,
Exactly. Like, think about Satya Nadella at Microsoft, right? When he took over, he really pushed this learn-it-all idea. It was all about encouraging everyone, no matter their position, to be curious, to question things, and work together. And that cultural shift really helped Microsoft take off again.
It's a great example of how a change in leadership style can really, change the whole trajectory of a company. But is this shift towards collaboration just happening in tech? Or is it broader than that?
Oh, it's definitely broader. Look at Chipotle, for instance. Mm. During the pandemic, they had to quickly adapt to survive, embracing digital ordering and delivery like they hadn't before. It's a prime example of agility becoming super crucial for every leader in every industry.
Right. And it's not just about reacting to big disruptions like a pandemic. It's about constantly evolving with technology, with customer expectations, all that changing so quickly.
Totally. And the sources also highlight another shift, the rise of what they call purpose-driven leadership. It's not just about profits anymore. Companies need a mission, something bigger than just the bottom line. It's got to resonate with their people and their customers.
Companies like Patagonia come to mind, right? They've built their whole brand around environmental sustainability. And it's not just marketing. It's at the core of everything they do, every decision they make.
Exactly. And it's working for them. People, especially younger generations, want to support businesses that align with their values.
So we're moving away from top-down leadership, embracing collaboration and agility, and we've got this focus on purpose. It seems like interpersonal skills are becoming the key to everything.
Absolutely. The sources really stress how success today depends on those strong relationships, and that's where interpersonal skills come in.
But it's more than just being a people person, right? Like, what specific skills are we talking about here?
Well, emotional intelligence is right up there at the top of the list. Even Elon Musk, known for being pretty demanding, has admitted, he needs empathy to lead effectively at Tesla and SpaceX. Understanding your team's emotions, it's crucial.
Yeah, and emotional intelligence, it's more than just being nice. It's understanding your own emotions, how they affect others, and reading the room. You've got to understand the emotional dynamics,
Absolutely. And active listening goes hand in hand with that. Look at Oprah Winfrey. She attributes a lot of her success to really listening, not just hearing, but understanding other people's viewpoints.
Sounds like these skills, emotional intelligence, active listening, they're all about a more human-centered approach to leadership.
Definitely. It's recognizing that people are at the heart of any successful business.
Okay, so how do we handle conflict then? Disagreements are bound to happen, even in the best teams.
Yeah, well, the sources suggest it's not about avoiding conflict. It's about dealing with it constructively. They use the example of Howard Schultz and how he handled labor disputes at Starbucks. He didn't just dig his heels in. He prioritized open communication, finding solutions that worked for everyone involved.
Finding that balance between being assertive but also empathetic, right?
Precisely. And another thing that comes up over and over in these sources is communication. You've got to express your ideas clearly, convincingly, in a way that resonates with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be adaptable. Sheryl Sandberg, from Meta, she emphasizes that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to communication in today's world.
Yeah, you've got to adjust your style depending on who you're talking to. Your team, your board, your customers, it's all different.
Exactly. And these communication skills, they're the foundation for building all the other crucial leadership abilities. So let's get into the core of our deep dive. How do we actually upscale those leadership skills to meet the needs of today's business world?
Okay, let's get practical then. What are the concrete steps we can take to elevate our game?
Well, Greg Winteregg, that business development expert whose YouTube videos you mentioned, has some interesting insights. One of his big points is the importance of replacing yourself as a leader.
Replacing yourself. Okay, I'm all ears.
He argues that good leaders need to create strategies and plans that allow the business to thrive even without them constantly being there, building systems, processes, and a team that can operate smoothly even if the leader steps back.
So empowering your team, delegating, giving them ownership.
Exactly. He breaks it down into four pillars of business: marketing, sales, delivery, and management. You need a clear strategy and action plan for each one.
He even shares an anecdote about a CEO who scaled his company to billions while still making time to communicate with his team every single day.
That consistency in communication is powerful. It shows your team you're invested even as the company grows and your responsibilities expand.
And it really highlights what we were talking about earlier about clear and consistent communication. It has to be part of the culture, not just a one-time thing.
Absolutely. Winteregg also stresses the importance of financial savvy for leaders. You wouldn't believe how many small business owners he's met who aren't really on top of their financials. They might have a fantastic product or service, but if they don't understand their numbers, manage their cash flow well, they're setting themselves up to fail.
He's right. You can't make good decisions about pricing, hiring, marketing, any of that if you don't understand your financials. It's not just about crunching numbers. It's about the story they tell you about your business.
He also talks about actively promoting your company, something some of his clients were a bit hesitant to do.
I get that. Not everyone's comfortable being the face of the company or putting themselves out there, you know.
Sure, but as he points out, your business can't really take off if you're not willing to champion it. You need to share your passion, articulate the value you offer.
He really drives home that point, that if you're not comfortable being the face, find someone who is. As the leader, it's your responsibility.
And that connects back to delegation and empowering your team, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's something you're not great at, find someone who excels in that area and let them own it.
I see how it's all coming together now. We've talked about collaboration, purpose-driven leadership, and the importance of those interpersonal skills. Now we're starting to see how it all translates into action, into how we actually upscale our leadership.
Exactly. We've laid the foundation. Now we can build on it.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of big picture concepts, you know, like shifting leadership styles, the importance of purpose, and all those core interpersonal skills.
Yeah.
But how do we actually put all of this into practice? Like, it's one thing to read about it, but how do we turn it into real action?
That's the million-dollar question, right? It's easy to get inspired by the theories and success stories, but the real work is bridging that gap between, you know, knowledge and application.
Exactly. I bet there are tons of leaders out there listening right now thinking, okay, this sounds amazing, but where do I even start?
Well, I think a good starting point is with yourself, actually. Before you can effectively lead others, you need to have a strong foundation of self-awareness. Like, what are your strengths, your weaknesses? What are your values? What kind of leader do you really want to be?
So personal development is key. But it's not just about attending a leadership seminar and expecting a magical transformation overnight.
Right. It's about creating a personal development plan, figuring out the specific areas you want to improve, and then, you know, really consciously incorporating those skills into how you interact with people, how you make decisions, everyday stuff.
So instead of just saying, I want to be a better communicator, I might say, okay, I'm going to improve my active listening skills by taking a workshop next month. And then I'm going to really focus on using those skills in my team meetings for the next 3 months.
Exactly. That's a much more actionable, measurable goal. And it highlights another crucial part of personal development, you know, seeking out resources and support. There are tons of books, articles, podcasts, online courses, all dedicated to leadership development.
And don't forget about mentors. Finding someone who's already reached that level of leadership you admire, it's super valuable.
Yeah, mentors can provide guidance, share their experiences, give you a fresh perspective, and they can challenge you to step outside your comfort zone and, you know, actually hold you accountable for your goals.
Okay, so we talked about personal development, but what about implementing all of this within our teams and organizations? How do we create a culture that actually embraces these ideas of collaborative leadership, emotional intelligence, and, you know, this idea of constant growth?
Well, like we mentioned earlier, communication is key. But it's not just about communicating your vision or expectations. It's about fostering an environment where everyone feels comfortable communicating openly and honestly.
So it's about more than just emails and meetings. It's about a culture where people feel safe speaking up, sharing ideas, even disagreeing sometimes.
Exactly. And it's about truly listening to your team, taking their feedback to heart, showing them that their opinions matter.
One of the biggest challenges of scaling a business, though, is keeping that sense of connection and collaboration as the team grows. It's easy to stay connected when it's just a small group, but when you start adding more people, it gets trickier.
True. But there are definitely things you can do. You know, implementing systems and processes that make communication across departments easier can help.
Like regular all-hands meetings where everyone shares updates and celebrates wins. Or using project management software so people can collaborate in real time, even if they're not in the same location.
And as a leader, you set the tone. Make an effort to connect with people individually, even just for a few minutes each week.
Even something small, like just walking around the office and saying hello, or grabbing lunch with a different team member each week, can make a huge difference in building rapport and connection.
Yeah, and don't underestimate small gestures of appreciation. You know, recognizing and rewarding people's contributions, even in little ways, can boost morale and make the environment more positive and supportive.
So creating a great work culture comes down to communication, connection, and appreciation.
It really does. And those are essential for actually implementing all those leadership skills we've been discussing, like collaboration, agility, making decisions based on purpose.
Speaking of purpose-driven leadership, how do we ensure that focus on the bigger picture doesn't get lost in the daily grind?
That's such a good question. It's so easy to get caught up in all the tactical stuff of leadership, meeting deadlines, managing budgets, putting out fires that you can lose sight of why you're doing it all.
It's like that saying, when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's hard to remember that your initial objective was to drain the swamp.
Exactly. So how do we avoid getting stuck in the swamp? I think it starts with consciously connecting what you're doing every day to your overall purpose.
So like, if your company's mission is to have a positive impact on the environment, you might start each day by thinking, okay, what can I do today to contribute to that?
Precisely. And it's not just about your own actions. It's about making sure your team understands how their roles fit into that bigger picture.
And celebrating the wins that are aligned with your purpose, too. It's a great way to keep everyone motivated and remind them that their work has meaning beyond just hitting targets or making profits.
You know, Winteregg talks about this in his videos. He's a big advocate of leaders actively promoting their company, not just to customers, but to their employees as well.
That's an interesting point. It's about creating a sense of pride and ownership within the team.
Exactly. If your employees are proud of what they do and they believe in the company's mission, they'll be more engaged, more productive, and more willing to go the extra mile.
It all circles back to that purpose-driven leadership idea, right? Yeah. It's not just a buzzword. It's a real shift in how we think about the role of business in society.
Absolutely. It's about creating a win-win where your business succeeds while also making a positive impact on the world.
It's inspiring to see more companies embracing this approach. It gives me a lot of hope for the future of business.
Me too. It's a reminder that leadership isn't just about power or money. It's about making a real difference.
So we've talked about personal development, building a great organizational culture, and leading with purpose. We've covered a lot. But I feel like there's one key element we need to address before we move on.
You're right. We focused a lot on the, you know, the softer skills, but we can't ignore strategy.
So strategy, right. Seems like you could have the leadership skills, the team, a killer mission, but without a solid strategy, you're not going anywhere.
It's like, you know, heading out on a road trip without a map or a GPS. You might know roughly where you want to end up, but chances are you'll get lost, waste time, maybe even end up somewhere you didn't intend to go at all.
So having a good strategy, it's like that map and GPS for your business. It gives you direction, keeps you on track, helps you measure how you're doing along the way.
Exactly. And a good strategy doesn't just, you know, magically appear. It takes planning. It takes understanding your market, who you're up against, your own strengths and weaknesses, all of that.
So where do you even start with strategic planning? It can be kind of overwhelming, especially if you're used to focusing on the day-to-day stuff, you know?
Yeah, it can be. But like anything complicated, it helps to break it down. So first, you've got to understand your market. Who are your ideal customers? What do they need? What are their pain points? What are the trends in your industry?
And where does your business fit in all of that? What makes you unique? What value do you offer that your competitors don't? It's about getting really clear on your niche. What sets you apart?
Right. Once you have a good grasp of your market and your position, you can start defining your strategic goals. What do you want to achieve? Where do you see your business in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years?
And it's got to be aligned with your overall mission and purpose,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might get pulled in by opportunities that seem good in the short term, but take you away from your long-term vision.
Absolutely. Your strategy should be the path to fulfilling your purpose, not a distraction from it.
But it's not enough to just have these big overarching goals. You have to break them down into smaller, actionable steps.
It's like that saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You need a step-by-step plan, right, to achieve those larger goals.
So once you have those objectives, you need a concrete plan of action. What steps will you take? What resources will you need? Who's responsible for each task? You've got to get really specific.
Right. And it's crucial to keep track of your progress, making adjustments along the way. The business world's always changing, so your strategy can't be static.
Got to be flexible, adaptable, willing to change course if things shift in the market or if something's just not working.
The most successful leaders are the ones who are constantly learning and improving, right?
Well,
Always evaluating their strategy, getting feedback, adjusting to stay ahead of the game.
this brings us back to continuous learning, doesn't it? It's not just about new skills, it's about staying updated on your industry, on tech advancements, even learning from your competitors.
Yeah, being a lifelong learner, always looking for knowledge and insights to help you make better decisions, lead your organization to success.
Any practical tips for how leaders can actually incorporate continuous learning into their, already packed schedules? A lot of leaders struggle with finding the time.
It's all about prioritizing it, making it non-negotiable. Even if it's just 30 minutes a day, carve out time for reading industry stuff, listening to podcasts, webinars, whatever works for you.
And networking, connecting with other leaders in your field,
Yeah.
conferences, workshops, even informal meetups, those are all valuable. You can learn from others, share ideas, get new perspectives.
Totally. Continuous learning shouldn't be a chore, it should be exciting, an enriching part of being a leader.
And it's not just about the leader, right? We need to foster a culture of learning within our organizations too.
Absolutely. It's about creating an environment where learning is encouraged and celebrated, offering professional development for your team, mentorship programs, encouraging people to share what they know.
Wow, we've really covered a lot today. The changing role of leadership, purpose, strategy, continuous learning, so much. It's been quite a deep dive.
It has. I hope our listeners are feeling, energized, inspired to take their leadership to the next level.
One key takeaway for me is that leadership isn't about having all the answers or being the smartest person in the room. It's about being adaptable, resilient, always open to learning and growing.
It's about those strong relationships, a positive environment, and a clear vision for the future that gets people excited.
And using your position, your influence, to make a positive difference in the world.
Love that. Because leadership, it's not a destination, it's a journey. And like any good adventure, it's full of challenges, victories, and tons of opportunities to grow.
So embrace the journey, keep learning, keep growing, and lead with passion and purpose.
Couldn't have said it better myself.